From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Spence Llewellyn with Davis Mortgage. The Llewellyn team is in studio with me. Spence, I love to have you on the air because one of your things is to educate people. And mortgage lending has become fairly complicated, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's debt-to-income ratios and this loan program for that and this loan program for that. So, you know, there's first-time home buyers. There's people who have a ton of equity. There's mortgage interest rates. And I know that I hear people all the time give what I would consider to be inaccurate information. Like, for example, you can't really predict what mortgage rates are going to do. You can look at the markets and give a good estimate, but you really don't know, do you?
Absolutely. I had a client this morning ask me that. I told him what the rates were today, asked him if he wanted to lock in his rate, which means he would have that rate secured. He goes, well, what's the 30-day outlook for rates look like? And my comment was, I don't have a crystal ball. Here's the things we're watching. These are the things that have been affecting rates. And here's what we predict the next magic report will be, which is a CPI number next week, the Consumer Price Index. That could affect rates. He came back. He goes, let's just lock in today.
Yeah.
But for me to predict, they're going to go up. Well, that's what's going to happen. They're going to go up. They're going to go down. They're going to stay the same.
Yeah.
So there is no crystal ball.
Well, and Spence, I want to give the information. Spence is part of the Llewellyn team. He's the leader of the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage. Their address is 4313 Corrales Road, Suite 6 in Corrales. Their phone number is 505-263-2000. S. Llewellyn, L-E-W-A-L-L-E-N, at pm.me is the address. Email address if you want to look them up. And if you want to go to davismortgageltd.com /about-spence-llewellyn, you can find out about Spence. Spence is a United States Air Force veteran. Again, thank you for your service, my
thank
friend.
You.
Do you get tired of people saying that?
Not at all. It was an honor to serve, and certainly a lot of people gave a lot more than I did.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny to me. You're a sports guy. I mean, you love baseball. And I a couple times ago that we had you on the show, you said, I love all baseball.
Right.
And you don't even necessarily have a team, do you?
Correct.
But what I like about that is that you just enjoy the game. And you like to talk about, you know, history and various players and all of those kinds of things. And I think that's really special.
Yeah, I love baseball. Umpired for 20 years, so I not only watch, I watch like the game within the game.
Now, I do know some guys, Spence, that you called out once in a while, and they have a few choice things to say. I'm just teasing.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, I did my share of yelling at officials as a basketball player, so I hang my head in shame confessing that sin. Hey, let's talk about some mortgage stuff. You've been on the air now with us. This will be the third time, and you have been getting calls. Again, you're about giving information, and really any good mortgage lender should be available to answer questions, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. That's what our job is, again, to provide information, educate our clients, look at different options for them, and see if something makes sense to move forward.
What's an example of some of the people that have called? What kind of questions do they have for you?
Well, it's interesting. Right after the show last time, I got a call from a gentleman who wanted to talk to me about refinancing his home. And he had just been divorced, and he had to basically pay his ex-wife back her equity. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me, what are the options? What can I do? And we looked at a couple things to help him in the sense of, first thing I asked him was, how long was he going to stay in his home? Planned to be there for quite a while. So I go, okay, let's look at some options to pull some of your equity out to pay your ex-wife so she can move on with her life, and you can solve the situation you agreed to in your divorce decree. And, you know, the man was pretty beat up emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you take time to, or I certainly take time to listen and talk to people and let them understand, even though divorce is an ugly thing, it happens. And the good Lord forgives you for things that have happened that you may have caused that or been involved with. And also, it's time to move on with your life. Here's some options. So we proceeded to move forward, look at his situation, got his information put together, and were able to not only pull the money out he needed to pay his ex-wife, we reduced his mortgage payment by $1,000 a month.
Wow.
Well, he had a first mortgage and a second mortgage.
Uh-huh.
We combined those, got the other equity out, and again, it changed his monthly cash flow, which was a huge surprise, and it turned into be a blessing for him because of the way things worked out.
Yeah, and in this case, both parties would probably be happy. He's staying in the house, the ex-wife is moving on, and she has her equity, and maybe that even helps to preserve. I know this, and I'm a divorced man. I never thought I would be divorced. Very disappointed in my own sin and things that contributed to that breakup. But I look back and I think about if you have children. You know, I don't care if you're mad at your former spouse or whatever. You got to be a parent, and you got to do that together. And
right.
that was an important, hard lesson that I learned. But it is a lot easier when you have some financial stability, and you're really helping people achieve that.
Well, I think, you know, to your point, it's the reality is by him able to get that money out, pay his ex-wife, it did take away a lot of tension between them. So they can move forward amicably as they go on with their lives.
I like that. You've gotten more than one call, though, I understand, which I'm pleased about. I want to make sure you're our expert on mortgage lending. Again, we're with Spence Llewellyn. He is with the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage. His phone number is 505-263-2000. What are some of the other calls that you've gotten?
Another call I got, again, a couple days after we did the last show, was from a lady who was 82 years old, and she wanted information about a reverse mortgage. And I found out where she lived, and she lives way up in the Heights, and my office is in Corrales. So I said, let me come to your home, we'll sit down, and I'll just explain it to you so you have a better understanding. We met, and I found out that what she was looking for was she had some needs, even though she was in a good financial situation, but she had some things she wanted to do. She wanted to pay for her pre-planning for her funeral, so her children weren't burdened with that. She had some work done on her house that she had a bill on she wanted to take care of. And we looked at the situation and determined that, yes, a reverse mortgage would work, but it didn't seem to be the best way for her to accomplish what she needed to accomplish because we weren't sure how long she would be staying in her home. So I helped her get in contact with a friend of mine, and we did a home equity loan for her, pulled the money out, reduced her monthly outgo because we paid off a credit card and paid off that construction debt and got the money she needed for her funeral planning. And it was just so cool to be able to, and this lady kept saying, well, how do you make money? It's like, ma'am, I'm not here just to make money. I'm here to help people.
Yeah.
And it was a blessing to me to be able to just sit there and remove this burden from her that she was sitting in her home, you know, stewing about and thinking about every day. And it's like, wait a minute, it's a lot easier than you think it is.
Yeah. Spence, maybe I should ask a question of when somebody applies for a mortgage loan or they apply for, and this is just the initial application, is there a charge for doing the application and those kind of things?
No. The application is a no obligation. It just lets me put information together.
Okay.
And then at the very end, when people close on a loan, that's when they get charged for their credit report. But I pay for it up front to make it easier on them to go into the process just looking for information.
And I trust our listeners impeccably. I know why they're listening. They're people that are interested in serving the Lord. They're people that want to know more about the Lord. They're interested in knowing people like you who are providing services that they can trust and have integrity. And at the same time, I don't want people to think, oh, yeah, Spence will just run your credit report. You got to be kind of a serious person because credit reports are pretty expensive. And, you know, you're going to do your best to protect them through the process. Not everybody who applies is going to do a loan. But, you know, you want to – I know you're happy to run scenarios and visit people and give them information. But at the time you make an application and you get a credit report, kind of at that point, you're kind of a serious person about getting a loan.
Absolutely. If people just want their credit report, they can go to Credit Karma and get it for free.
There you go.
Or they can, you're allowed to, based on what the law says, to get one credit report free from the different credit agencies every year.
Well, I have a credit card that, try to do my best to make sure it doesn't have any balance on it every month, but I can click right on a button, get my credit report there anytime from Capital One.
Correct.
I'm sure that there's other companies that do exactly that same thing. So again, not hard to get your credit report. Along those lines, if you pull your credit report, Spence, and you don't have perfect credit, let's say you're in the 660 range, can you still get a mortgage?
Absolutely. Typically, the ranges we look at in the mortgage world is anything over a 780 credit score is in the very top tier. The middle tier is going to run between 680 and 780. Anything below 680, you start getting into fair credit to poor credit. But we can do loans down to 600 credit scores.
Wow.
So certainly if people have dinged credit and they're hesitant to even ask the question, can I get a mortgage or what should I do to improve my credit? Call me. Because again, I can give guidance to people to how to help understand how to improve their credit scores and also how we navigate if their scores are low to find a loan program that will work for them.
Spence, I know you had this woman call you about a reverse mortgage, and we're going to take a break here in about 3 minutes. So can you take that time to explain to us what a reverse mortgage is?
You bet. A reverse mortgage is simply a loan that allows eligible homeowners to access a portion of their equity without having to pay that loan back until they leave the home. So it's oftentimes used for people to get a reverse mortgage and pay off their existing mortgage. And that now enables them to have a home without having to make a monthly payment.
So I was reading, back when I was in the lending business, I think the median purchase price for a home was like $175,000. Now it's like $350,000.
Correct.
I mean, it's literally double. And so let's give a scenario. Let's say that you have a home that's probably worth $350,000 to $400,000. You've got a $50,000 balance on your mortgage loan, and you haven't saved a lot of money for your retirement. You don't have to have an income qualification or anything else to go get yourself some equity out that can be distributed to you monthly or in a chunk, or how, explain some of those things.
Exactly. The way a reverse mortgage would work in that situation, we would pay off the underlying $50,000 mortgage, and there's no payment due on that money that's used to pay it off, so that relieves that amount of money, or frees up that amount of money.
And I can't imagine, most payments are right around $1,000 a month, so already you're saving that money out of cash flow.
Correct. And then the next piece would be, does the homeowner want, they say, Spence, I need $500 extra a month. We could set up a plan where they could get that $500 extra a month for as long as they live in the home. If they need a little more than that, we could set it up that they would get $700 a month, let's say, for 10 years.
Now, we're all going to pass away. Let's say you do that. You're at the end of life. You have to move out of the home or whatever. Does the bank then own your home?
Absolutely not. The biggest myth about reverse mortgages is that the bank ends up owning your home and that you give up your equity. That's not true. You stay entitled to your home. The equity remains with you. And when you pass away, it gets passed on to your heirs.
Yeah, I love that. We're with Spence Llewellyn. He's with the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage. Their address is 4313 Corrales Road, Suite 6 in Corrales, 505-263-2000. Spence is our Ask the Expert, expert about mortgage lending. So we've got a lot more. He's going to be with us till 2 o'clock. And we're going to talk about a lot of things I hope you'll find informative. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. Spence Llewellyn with the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage, 505-263-2000, our resident expert on mortgages. He's going to be talking to us all the way through 2 o'clock today. Spence, I've heard people say that they want to buy a home, but they're waiting for rates to go down. Is that a good strategy?
I don't think so. And the reason is we have a supply issue nationwide and locally. home prices are continuing to go up. They're projected to go up in Albuquerque between 4 and 5% this year. That's assuming things stay just like they are. If people wait for interest rates to drop, they're going to pay more for the home. More importantly, right now we're talking supply and demand. Rates are, no matter what rates are, there's X amount of people that want to buy a home, and there's fewer homes on the market for those number, that number of buyers. If rates drop, more buyers will get into the market for a limited number of homes on the market. So we'll have higher demand issues with the low supply with lower rates. So if people can afford to get into a home now, it makes sense to do so. Rates can come down, then they could refinance possibly. But if they can afford it, buy it now because it's going to cost more next year.
Let's give a little perspective. Early in our careers, we've known each other a pretty long time. We thought that a great interest rate was 7% because we had seen, you both as a realtor and a lender and me as a lender, we'd seen rates at 13, 14%.
Correct.
And so we thought 7% was wonderful. Well, the people today think, well, rates are going to go back to 3%. They're going to go back to 2.5%. That's really unlikely, isn't it? I mean, you're not saying it can't happen.
Correct.
But it's pretty unlikely.
Absolutely. I mean, right now we're in the 6.5 to 7.5% interest rate range. That's historic. That's the average for the last 30 plus years. The rates we had when we got into the twos and threes coming out of COVID, we all know now that was because of government stimulus. Mm. And we keep hearing about the national debt. Well, guess what? The government put a ton of money into the housing market or made the rates so low to allow the housing market to take advantage of those rates. But even the best predictions we're seeing now, if rates come down, would be surprising to get back to 5. So certainly, and like you said earlier, when we got to 10% back in 1986, everybody thought it will never go lower than that.
Yes.
And then, of course, since then, we've seen a steady decline, ups and downs during that time frame. But I would love to see us go back to 3% rates.
Yeah. Spence, and you've met Brian Cochran. He is... Yeah, he's with John Moore Associates. He does a lot of neat things, talks about biblical ways to handle money. We've asked him in the past, and when we brought you on first, he was here. And he was really liked what you had to say about reverse mortgages and said that that can, in fact, be a tool. But I've actually asked him this question. I've asked him, I said, and this is back when rates were 3%. If I've got, you know, $400,000 equity in my house, should I go get a $200,000 loan at 3% and invest that in the market, which is going to earn me 6 to 10% or something like that? And Brian basically said, I would not incur debt and increase your payment, your outflow, in order to create a money to invest. He was nervous about that. That's kind of like building a house of cards. And I don't want to speak for him, but that's basically what he was saying. A reverse mortgage is different than that. A reverse mortgage is creating a pool of money that you can choose how you want it distributed. And like you said, you can kind of choose the monthly amount that you need. But you don't actually have a mortgage payment, do you, when you have a reverse mortgage?
Correct. The way a reverse mortgage works is the interest is added to the monthly interest is added to the loan balance versus when you have a traditional mortgage, every month you pay the interest payment and a little bit of principal. So a reverse mortgage allows people as they get in their retirement years where they're earning less money most likely to be able to free up cash flow in numerous ways by using the equity in their home. They don't have to make a payment. The balance goes up a little every year, but the home appreciates a little bit every year to offset that. Mm-hmm. And they don't, on a reverse mortgage, you're only borrowing a portion of your equity. So somebody who's 80 years old is only going to be able to borrow about 50% of their equity. So there's a lot of protection in that, in the sense of you're not taking all your equity out. And now what if something happens to the housing market? What's going to happen to you?
Spence, I was doing mortgage loans and commercial loans once upon a time in my career several years ago, and I remember people coming to me and saying, hey, I've got $20,000 worth of credit card debt, so I want to refinance my house and pay off these credit cards. Well, that sounds like a really great idea, but my personal experience was, and again, you have to keep in mind biblical principles of money. I definitely think you need to be as debt-free as you can. If you're not right now, you're not a terrible sinner. You're just needing to make some adjustments and do things in a way to get yourself out of debt. But I remember paying off $20,000 worth of debt, and without exception, not one person I could tell you, and I did hundreds of these, not one person stayed out of debt after we used equity in their house to pay off their loans. And I want people to, I still think that's valuable to do that because you can really ease the cash flow, but you can't just maintain the same old habits and live above your means. If you're going to pay off $20,000 worth of credit card debt, don't go charge up another $20,000 in the next year after you pay it off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you? I know you give counsel to people, but have you seen that same problem happening?
And you mentioned it earlier. It's habits.
Yeah.
People that live on credit, it's a constant juggle. How am I going to pay this off? I'm going to get a new credit card to pay off the old credit card. You see people get into that cycle, and they can't break the cycle. It's interesting to me that in this day and age, if you will, it seems like more people are getting smarter about their money and realize that, you know what, we need to tighten the belt. And then if they do a debt consolidation loan, like you mentioned, refinance a house, pay off all your credit cards, and they stay disciplined, it's a home run.
Yes.
Because one example you'd given me was somebody that had a house worth $350,000 and they owed $125,000 on it and had $20,000 in credit cards. I looked at a potential refinance for that situation, and they would save $930 a month.
That's a lot of money.
It's huge. And if they would just, at the very least, save that, and then when they needed to buy something, they could pay cash for it.
But I get the sense that sometimes we think, oh, well, my bills are $930 less, so that money's now available to me.
And you're going to be right back in the same spot.
Yeah. Well, and again, what we're trying to do is provide food for thought. We're trying to, I'm 66 years old. I think I can say with a lot of accuracy, I can testify where I made a lot of mistakes. So, you know, do as I say now, not do as I did. Because I don't want you to make the same mistakes. I'm like a dad appealing to you as a listener. Please learn from mistakes in the past. And this is the irony I always find in the Bible. There's so much great information. But how many times do nations not listen to God? How many times do we as individuals, we can see all these examples, yet we still do the same dumb things? So really, this information is provided to help you avoid the pitfalls that we're discussing.
Absolutely.
And I know that you enjoy that counseling part of your job.
That's the best part of it, is helping people. And, you know, you hear the expression, we've heard it all our lives, the light bulb goes off. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute, that makes sense. Or wait a minute, I didn't think I could accomplish that, and I can. I didn't think I'd ever be out of debt, but I can be. Mm-hmm. And again, we talk about what you mentioned earlier. You can't just turn around and do the same things that got you in this situation again.
Spence, here's a scenario I want to ask you about. And we've got a lot more to talk about because we've got another 30 minutes after our next break. So in about 3 minutes, maybe you can kind of summarize this. If I know a lot of people that are my age. They've got that, four-bedroom, three-bath house that's over 3,000 square feet, and it's either just a couple or just an individual, and that's a lot of house for one person. Have you seen people sell homes now and downsize and do that successfully?
Absolutely. Interesting. I'm going to be on a panel next week with a group that talks about senior empowerment. And the topic is moving down, downsizing. And that's one of the tools of a reverse mortgage. People can actually use a reverse mortgage to buy their next home. So a quick example, if you sold your house for $500,000 and you were going to buy a home for $300,000, you could easily pay cash because you just sold your house for $500,000. But what if you could put $150,000 down on that new $300,000 home, have a $150,000 reverse mortgage? You've kept $350,000 of your proceeds in the bank, so to speak, and you still don't have a mortgage payment.
Wow.
So it's a great tool that people can now really have a nest egg and a cushion rather than have to put all their money back into another home.
And do mortgage lenders charge to give you this kind of information, or is this information that that's readily available?
I don't know if it's readily available, and I don't know how many people take the time to really look at all options for their clients. Somebody comes to me, I want to show them all the options. What if you got a new first mortgage, like in this downsize example? What if you looked at a reverse mortgage? How would you feel if you had this much equity, your cash now in the bank?
Yeah. Well, and again, you're talking about using a reverse mortgage as a tool in a way that I had no idea was allowed. That's really cool. Spence Llewellyn is with the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage. They're located in Corrales at 4313 Corrales Road. Are you near some good restaurants down there?
Absolutely.
505-263-2000. Or you can reach him by email at slewellyn, that's LEWALLEN, at pm.me. We'll be back with Spence, more about mortgage lending and the tools available to you. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Spence Llewellyn is with me in studio. This is Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining and listening to us this afternoon. Spence is with the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage, 4313 Corrales Road, Suite 6 in Corrales, 505-263-2000. That number is available to you if you need information. Spence is available to answer questions, as he is today, asking the expert. Spence, let's talk a little bit about investment properties. And you brought up something during the break that I hadn't even thought of. And that is, sometimes people can downsize by maybe buying like a duplex or a fourplex and live in one of the units and have the other units rented out. That's something you can finance.
Absolutely. We find people that sometimes if they've owned a big home and they're used to taking care of their home, used to working in the yard, fixing things around the house, and they like doing that. Had one gentleman that he came and that was his situation. He wanted to still own a home, but he liked fixing up things and working around the house. But he was looking for some extra income. And we talked about, well, what if you were to buy what you just said, Jim, a duplex? You can buy the duplex. You live in one unit, rent out the other unit. He was excited about that because it was like, well, wait a minute. So when I go fishing and I'm gone for a week, someone's watching my house.
Yes.
And by the fact that he's going to live in one of the units, he was able to qualify for financing just like a primary loan versus an investment property loan. Typical investment property loan requires 20 to 25% down. But if somebody wanted to buy one with minimal down payment, they could buy that duplex with 5% down and have somebody else make part of their monthly payment in the way of rent.
Yeah, and that really reduces the mortgage loan that you have or your payment considerably because of the other rent. Now, there are pitfalls to being a landlord.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just dealing with people, and you can imagine what those are. But I will tell you something that I did. When I was pretty young, I had a couple of investment properties, and what I used to do is I developed a relationship with a commander out on the base, and I would take out ads in the base flyer. I don't know what it's called. Kirtland Flyer, yeah. And I didn't plan it this way, but I almost always just leased my homes to Air Force people. Because most of them had a two-year deployment in that particular area. If you ever had a problem with not getting paid on time in terms of rent, all you had to do was call the CO's office, and it was taken care of.
Right.
And that really almost never happened, just because I think people, you know, they're mature, they understand what they have to do. They're very budget oriented. I think the military kind of drills a lot of that into your head, doesn't it?
Well, the idea of finances is one thing they certainly teach and encourage, especially if people are involved in any kind of job that requires a security clearance. You can't have bad credit.
Yes.
And the idea of the discipline that most military members have, they're not going to tear up something. They know there's consequences for their actions. So military members are great tenants, or people who've been in the military. Most likely they're going to have those same values.
Well, and these are just ideas we're talking about. But you can – I know people that will make their mortgage payment, and they'll apply any rent that they get, if they had a duplex and a fourplex, to the principal balance, which amortizes the whole thing and builds a lot of equity really fast.
Absolutely. And again, a great cash flow vehicle on top of other possible retirement investments.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. What about, so I didn't realize that mortgage financing was available for duplexes and fourplexes. Those are considered to be under the guidelines of conventional loans or FHA loans and things, right? They're treated almost like a single family home?
They're treated like a residential loan. They're not a commercial loan.
Gotcha.
If you get to 5 units or more, that becomes a commercial type loan.
Yeah.
Different interest rate treatment, different down payment requirements.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think that's a neat way for people to invest. What about, I'm thinking about kids here. Maybe the kids don't want to live with mom and dad, but maybe you've got multiple kids. Maybe a duplex would be the answer. They get to pay a little rent, and yet you know where they are at, right?
Great, great topic, Jim, because there's something that this term has been used for years, but they call it a kiddie condo. And what that is used for is typically a college student going off to college. The parents want a place for their child to live. Oftentimes, they would buy a house for their child to live in, ultimately treated as a rental property. They could do the same thing with a duplex. But the beauty of it is they would have the child go on the loan with them. It builds credit for the child, and they get interest rate treatments as if they were buying a primary residence. So you can kill like two or three birds with one stone. You know where your child's going to be living. You know the type of property they're going to be in. You have a little control of who their roommates could be, and you're going to gain equity in the process.
Yeah, if there's any kids listening, though, I want you to understand something. You got to put a little work into the property when you have tenants. You just do. You can't just let it go. You really have to work at it, keep it nice, keep the landscaping nice, make sure you're fixing faucets and other things that you get called about. I mean, it does take some work, but I don't think it's laborious. It's just you got to work.
Right. You have some time investment into something. In this case, if we did the student being one of the owners, they're investing their time to take care of their own property.
Yeah. Spence, I'm still interested in that. I asked you in the last segment if there was a way to help a senior downsize, and you suggested that a reverse mortgage could be used to buy a property. Could you kind of take us through that scenario again? Because I think a lot of people might be interested in that.
Absolutely. The idea behind it, what we call it, a reverse for purchase. Assuming somebody's 70 years old. They're going to be able to borrow about 40% of the value of the new home they want to buy. So if they've got 60% of the value of that new property, they can then get a reverse mortgage for 40% and not have to make a monthly payment. So if they sold their primary home, the big home, the children are gone, they've got a chunk of money from that sale. They could use a portion of that to put down on their new home and not have a mortgage payment, as if they had paid 100% cash, but this way they're able to maintain and hold on to a portion of the equity from the sale of their previous home.
Mm, I like that a lot. I mentioned to you during the break that in my years of lending, I would see people that make $300,000 a year, and I'd see people that make $50,000 a year. And I would say, for the record, that it was almost easier to do loans for people that made $50,000 a year because they had habits of saving and things. And the thing that used to get me the most is if I looked at somebody that we would consider pretty wealthy, if you're making $300,000 a year, you would think that's wealth. Well, they didn't have any more equity than the people only making $50,000. They just had more cash flow. But if they made so many times, I would see, and this is really bad now, but they would be driving a new car every 2 years. And man, if you've seen the price of cars now, I saw people with $2,500 a month in car payments, and that's just two cars. I mean, that is a lot of money. And I've always tried to tell people, look, I don't want to make anybody mad that's a new car dealer. I think it's great if you can afford to buy a new car. But I think that most people, if you can't afford to buy a new car and you're way out on those 6 or 7 year loans and you're putting nothing down and your payments just through the roof, you probably should have bought a cheaper car.
Absolutely. And Jim, you hit the nail on the head with where car prices are now and what the interest rates are and the car payments. I had a client last year call me and try to get pre-approved. We could only approve them for about 50% of what they wanted. And they're like, what's the deal? And it's like, you have $2,000 a month in car payments. A year or so ago, I had some clients pull up to my office. I was waiting for them. I knew they were first-time home buyers. The wife pulls up in a brand new Beamer, and about 10 minutes later, here comes her husband in a brand new, lifted, great-looking truck. But again, they needed to live in the cars because they couldn't afford a house. And it's hard to have that conversation with people because, you know, we're all attached to our things. And to be able to detach that thinking process to go, you know what, I'm going to sell my car, like you just said, Jim, get one less expensive. But now I can go buy a house that's going to appreciate in value. That's got to be the counsel we give people.
Well, and I think ultimately, it's one of the reasons I love talking with Brian Cochran and you as well, is because you guys really are encouraging people to follow biblical principles and to not live beyond your means and to save and to be giving and being generous. And, you know, God blesses you for those things. And if you haven't done that, look, it's not over. You can make corrections right now. And Spencer Wellen and the Wellen team at Davis Mortgage are just one tool available. Their phone number is 505-263-2000. They're located at 4313 Corrales Road. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's my favorite thing, and that's new construction, because there's those people that have a lot, they maybe have held it for a while, or they found a piece of land that they'd really like to buy, but they don't know how to hire that custom builder, they don't know how to finance it, and that's something that is actually not that complicated to do, but you have to have an expert help you with that. And we'll talk about that all the way up till 2 o'clock. Spence Wellen with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Spence Wellen with the Wellen team at Davis Mortgage in studio with us. The phone number is 505-263-2000. Spence is our Ask the Expert, talking about mortgage loans today. And we've talked about refinancing. We've talked about reverse mortgages. We've talked about downsizing. We've talked about purchasing a home with a reverse mortgage. I mean, there's a lot to this, and there's different loan products for everybody. We did mention, you know, we've talked about debt to income ratios and how high car payments are these days, and somehow, you know, people are increasing their debt to income ratio when, you know, you might think about, hey, we got to be saving, we got to be giving as priorities, and it's not necessarily the model or the year of the car that you're driving. I mean, you can get some pretty nice cars that are used if you're building up. Now, hey, I don't want to fault anybody if you went out and you bought a new car. More power to you. But if you're starting to think, gosh, I shouldn't have this massive payment. What is that car really worth, you know, 2 years down the road? I mean, these are all things that you have to ask. I mean, cars are not appreciating. Now you might be able to, you know, invest in a classic car, but you have a whole different class of, you know, and I'm really not trying to pick on the car people. I just want to talk about debt to income ratios. I want to talk about saving money, not always trying to leverage that loan program for the smallest amount down. But there are a lot of programs that provide you low down payments, aren't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People can get into a new home for as little as 3% down.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And you already mentioned that you can have a credit score as low as like 600, not necessarily with 3% down, but
correct.
But you can get into a home even if your credit. And I didn't know this either. We were talking about maybe a parent, if you've got a college student, maybe investing in like a duplex or an investment property where the student, your child, is actually a co-borrower and building their credit.
Absolutely. It's a great program.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. Plus, it gives them some real investment. But I did warn everybody, it takes a little work, especially if you're a landlord. I remember my oldest son, he was out in San Diego at Point Loma Nazarene University, and they were renting a house, and he had four additional roommates. And I thought, oh, this is never going to work. Those guys got along like I've never seen before. They just had a blast, you know, almost the whole time he was in college, and all did well and are all doing well now. So I don't know if it's because they were all believers and they all had kind of a common goal, but there was absolutely some, God's blessing was definitely at work there. So I'm very thankful for that.
That's cool.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about new construction. I know people right now that have bought lots. Rio Rancho's common because at one time you could go buy a lot in Rio Rancho for like 15 grand. I know some people that have lots in North Albuquerque Acres that they might have paid $100,000 for. Those lots are probably worth $300,000 now. Is it possible for them to hire a custom builder and finance the construction and the permanent loan for a property like that?
Absolutely. And it's interesting. We find a lot of people that either have bought their lot a long time ago, or they've inherited it, or one of their family members bought multiple lots, so they have their lot figured out. They may or may not need to finance that to pay somebody off. But when people come to me and they say, we have a lot and we want to build on it, it's like, super, have you talked to your builder? Have you found a builder? No. Are you talking to builders? Yes, and they may have two or three they're talking to. Couple ways things seem to happen. The builder will then, the next step is to create a plan. Like, what are your plans? And that's where typically the builder and the client, or the client and an architect, get together to create a house plan for that lot. And what we look for is for them to get what we call their plans and specs put together. Plans are what the house looks like. Specs are everything that goes into it. Marble versus granite, what kind of flooring, what kind of cabinets, all the things that go into a home, that comes under the category of specs. Once we have the plans and the specs, we order an appraisal. And that appraisal will determine how the numbers look to get the home built. There are times people will get all the plans and specs done, and it costs a few thousand dollars to do that, and they decide not to move forward. Mm-hmm. Or they decide to wait X amount of time, a year or two, but they've got their plans. Once they do that and they find a builder they want to work with and get their bids, we put them in contact with a construction lender. We've already pre-approved the client for a new permanent loan that'll be used after the house is finished.
Permanent loan meaning a 10-year, a 15-year, a 30-year
exactly.
mortgage.
Longer-term loan, correct. Okay. The construction loan is called sometimes an interim loan, and that's used for the period of time to build the home. The construction lender will actually set up, in conjunction with working with the builder, what we call a draw schedule. What that means, a draw is when they take money out of the construction loan to pay to the builder to do a certain portion of the work. Typically what happens when people start working with their builder, they give them a deposit to start the project. Once the, for example, that money could be used for the site work and the foundation. Once the foundation's finished, now they're ready to get money from the construction lender. The construction lender will send somebody out to inspect the foundation and give them a check now for the amount of money needed to frame the house. Typically, there's four or five draws in the process. Each time there's a draw request, that's when the contractor's asking the bank for money or the construction lender for money. The homeowner still gets to sign off on that to make sure that the money's going into their project.
And the bank also goes out and does an inspection.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, if there's a draw requested because the frame has been installed, a qualified city or county inspector is going to go out, and the bank usually has a very qualified person, probably an old retired contractor of some kind, and they're going to do an inspection, and they're going to say, yes, this was done correctly. But I've also seen when they've said, it's not done correctly, and you need to make these changes before we'll give you a draw. So there is a lot of protection in place for a consumer.
Absolutely. Like you said, you've got the government officials, the county inspectors, and then the bank inspectors, because they want to make sure that the money that's getting taken out as a draw goes into the project that's supposed to go on. Unfortunately, there's been unscrupulous builders in the past that would be paying for their next project with somebody else's money.
Yes.
And that turns into a mess. But more likely, you're going to have good controls overseeing the construction loan process.
In my experience, and I'll say this just very forward, is licensed contractors, in my opinion, are always going to build a home faster, better, and be able to provide warranties, whereas there are so-called contractors that are not licensed. And I don't know a lender that'll finance a house by an unlicensed contractor.
Correct. In fact, that's one of the parameters for getting approved for a construction loan. They approve the builder. So they're not only going to look at the builder's track record, they're going to look at the builder's financials. Can he take on this project?
But Spence, I do want to say that sometimes builders, especially custom builders, like this scenario because the construction loan and everything is in the buyer's name, not in their name. So their credit is not held up. They might have another project that they're also working on. So this isn't going to tie up their funds. But in all fairness, they want to make sure that they're going to get their draws timely and inspections. So they want you to deal with a reputable lender.
Correct. That's the reason in my side of the industry, we know the two or three best construction lenders in Albuquerque. Mm. Great reputation, work great with the builders. The builders love them. It's when people oftentimes will say, well, I have a friend at XYZ Bank that's going to do my construction loan, but they're not really set up to do construction loans. That leads to delays and extra cost for the homeowner.
Yeah, and I know this is not on our little list, but change orders. My contractors, when I was a construction lender, used to love me because, you know, somebody might say, well, my plans and specs say this, but I really don't want this wall where it is. I want to change it. Well, sometimes they think that's free. Change orders are never free.
Right.
So you need a lender that understands all of that.
Exactly.
Spence Llewellyn with the Llewellyn team at Davis Mortgage, 4313 Corrales Road, Suite 6 in Corrales, 505-263-2000. And the simple number, I've actually known that phone number for about 40 years. But
been around.
505-263-2000. If you have questions, Spence is available to answer those questions. Thanks for joining us today on ABQ.
Thank you very much.